Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
So we're back with another episode of Knee Deep in Play. I am Heather.
And I'm Keisha.
And on this episode, we have a special guest.
We're so thrilled.
We are. We're very thrilled. We're tickled. We have Michael Lehman, who many people have experienced him as a presenter. He has presented very often with Bev Boz. And Michael is the director of Roseville Community Preschool out in Roseville, California. And he is author of Chance Finger Plays and Stories. And we're happy to have him. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much. I'm glad you guys asked me to be a part of this. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we have been talking recently about inclusion. We talked about including children of all abilities, all, you know, levels of need. And then the conversation changed to inclusion of families and parents. And, of course, we thought of Roseville and we thought of you. And we wanted to talk with you about what it's like to work in a program that includes families to the level that you guys do in a cooperative program. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Roseville for those few that don't know about Roseville?
Well, we are a co-op, a parent participation play-based school. That basically a co-op, it means a bunch of families get together and decide they want something different for their children. And so they courageously start a school. They hire staff to run it. But traditionally, co-ops, you know, the parents have all of the decision-making. So we're a little bit different than a traditional co-op in that the staff and the director handles curriculum decisions, and the families are there to kind of make sure everything just kind of happens. They're kind of the soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it works really well. I can't, you know, having been around this with my own children going through it and now part of the staff, I can't imagine doing anything different. It just, it's wonderful. It's 100 families, which I think all schools should be no bigger than 100 families, no matter high school, grammar school, whatever. 100 families is enough for a school.
Wow.
And it works wonderful because, you know, especially for this age, I mean, preschool, you have families that are just starting out and they're excited about being parents. You know, they want an active part in their child's education. And the thing I have to remind myself is, you know, they have a three-year-old, which means they're a three-year-old parent.
They're
not very good at
this.
That's
a really good way
to
put it. That is a really good way to put it.
And so that's really the big challenge is, you know, for the staff is, I think our practices are pretty solid, but you're constantly having to bring these parents along and make sure everybody's on the same page. And so it's really the parent participation component that I think is the big challenge for any co-op.
Now, what do you guys do as far as parent education? Does that play a big role in your program?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We start with a mandatory orientation before school starts where whoever's participating has to be there, whether it's, you know, just the mom or the dad or grandparents or aunts or uncles, whoever plans on participating has to come to this. And it's intense, and we try to cover as much as we can so they feel like they really have their feet under them when the first day happens, you know, so they don't feel lost or anything. But it's impossible to kind of cover every contingency that might happen. So you give them, you know, philosophy, and then you start talking about really practical things about when you're working in this area, this is what you need to kind of think about. So So it's a challenge, and so we have this orientation, but then we have monthly parent meetings too to kind of reinforce that and also bring up things that might occur. You know, our subject matter might just depend on what seems to be the hot issue right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's that's really the part that is the biggest challenge, but it's also, I think, the most meaningful part. You know, the kids, they are excited and they're curious and they're, you know, learners. But these parents kind of have forgot what it's like to be a kid. So reminding them about, you know, what it's like to be 3 years old and
I
stand there shoulder to shoulder.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're watching their kid and they're doing something kind of iffy or edgy. And you have the opportunity to say, you know what, that is so spot on for a 3 year old. And you can just see the stress just go right out of their body, like, oh, my God, my child's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice, you know, like I said, I can't imagine being involved in a different kind of school. I just really love what co-ops are about.
It sounds like it's an invaluable position for parents to be in. I mean, that's like I've heard, I believe I've heard Bev say before, the children are with us for this short period of time, and then they go home with their parents. So if they're getting night and day in those two places, it's not as meaningful as if the parent understood what we were doing, and we understood what the parents were doing, and the child was getting more of a seamless style of care, I guess is what I would call it, And I think that the parents in your program are so lucky in that they're getting that. I mean, they're getting something that many educators don't get. Hands-on, you know, in the act learning and being able to see, you know, being able to see it firsthand and hear you guys tell them, you know, that is normal for your child to behave that way. I think there are so many parents, like you said, would just take a deep breath and give themselves a break because many parents are tough on themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Fabulous.
And, you know, when you have a multi-age classroom, so now you've probably got a lot of veteran parents and a lot of newbies, and they're all working shoulder to shoulder and helping each other, having each other's back and stuff like that. And, you know, the veterans, you know, it's common to hear them say, well, one thing I've got to tell you is welcome to the dark side. Because it's different when they understand development. It's kind of different when they take their kids out in public,
uh-huh.
like when you go to the park and things like that. You know, these other parents that don't have a notion about what young kids are about will try to educate our parents as to how they're failing their children by not, you know, not making them share the swing or whatever it is that's going on at the park. And so, you know, it's a real awakening to what it means to be a parent and to understand development. And then to go on, once the leave is after 2 short years usually, to advocate for their kid when whatever school they end up in. And so it's not an easy thing for parents to do. I think, you know, they have this decision, where am I going to put my kid? This is the most precious thing I have. And so they decide on a, you know, parent participation co-op, and then they realize, oh, my God, I have to work with all these people I don't even know. And I think it's kind of an eye-opening thing. But it's fun to watch what happens, the way relationships form, and these people become truly lifelong friends. And although their children might leave us soon, there are so many connections that happen that are just really just enrich everybody's life, not only the kids, but parents too. You know, you have this support group for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, can I ask a couple of sort of more logistical kinds of questions?
I'll do my best to answer them, but
okay.
If you may ask.
So if, for myself, trying to understand it. I mean, we do have parents volunteer in our program sporadically, and it's pretty darn rare for them to offer and for us to be able to successfully coordinate it because it just doesn't seem like it's something people have the time or possibly the inclination. I would like to think not that it's that, but anyway, we work on it. So the only thing in my frame of reference that I can compare it to is there is a private school near where I'm at. And if you enroll your child at that private school, you are also, as a condition, agreeing to give so many hours per year to the school. So when someone selects Roseville Community Preschool, is there a contract or is there not a contract? Is there a set number of hours? Is there a schedule? Like, how does that all work?
Well, there is. I wouldn't say, you know, we have a contract, but there is an understanding that there is a real commitment to the school because, you know, it's essentially a co-op means the parents own the school, not the staff, not the director, anybody else. The parents own the school. So, you know, coming into that situation, I think it's pretty clear that, yeah, you're going to be a big part of this. And so in our parent handbook and in our meetings with the parents, yeah, it's spelled out that, yeah, there are like 2 work days a year where you're expected to, you know, give us 8 hours each. There's fundraising that they're a part of. There's working daily in the school. You know, each family will work 1 day a week in the school. And, yeah, so there's a real understanding that, yeah, this can't happen, especially if you're talking about a play-based school where these kids are basically choosing what they're going to do each day. We set it up. It's all set up, ready to go, and hopefully they'll find something that really interests them. So in order to do that, you have to understand the kids are going to be from the front door to the back fence within the first 30 seconds of the school, and unless we have people that are there, it can't happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they see how it works, how the kids just kind of transition themselves in and around the school, they realize that, yeah, I'm a big part of this, an important part of this, and it makes sense now that when it's my work day, I got to be here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these kids are just, you know, unattended. So it's something that we do talk about, but in a way that makes it really positive. I mean, you get to watch your child for these 2 incredible years, 3, 4, and 5, you know, just that time is just so much going on in this young child's life and in their brain, and you get to witness it. And so I think that trying to really get to where you reach them on a really personal and emotional level about how lucky they are to be able to be a party to this is you suck them in, and it turns out they will bend over backwards and do anything you ask if it means it's going to benefit my child in some way.
Mm-hmm. Do the majority of parents that choose your program, majority of them have full-time jobs as well?
Yes, and you know, it is a hardship for a lot of our families, honestly, because in order to address a problem we had just an incredible, we had like a 20-page waiting list of people that were hoping to get into the school. And there was, for most of them, there was no way remotely possible that was going to happen. At that point, the board decided what we need to do. We're going to split the day in half. So it's only half-day programs, 2.5 hours in the morning and afternoon. There's a 3-day version, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Tuesday, Friday, both all of those morning or afternoon, which means that they have to scramble around and find some other place or somebody to watch their child on the times they're not at the school. So for many, it is a hardship, but it turns out that it's something that they're willing to do and figure out. And so there's just all kinds of options that they work out. And it happens, but yeah, I know that for a lot of people, it'd be much simpler for them to have a place where they could go all day, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the reason.
But, you know,
the reason,
when they see.
The reason why I asked if they had a full-time job was because if they're going to be working at the preschool for this morning and this morning, then like, how does their job handle that? I hadn't even in that moment thought about the fact about what you just said, which is yes, certainly convenience wise, having one place for your child every day, all day would be convenient. That didn't occur to me because I thought of it
just how you asked it.
RCP, like I've been there and it's such a magical, beautiful place that if I were a parent, which I am, I would just, that would be it. I would bend heaven and earth to have my child there. But I was more thinking about the parents' employers. How do they feel about, like, how do they figure that all out for scheduling and stuff?
I don't know. But, you know, I'm afraid to find out. You know, they might be getting in trouble or something. But, you know,
Are they stay-at-home parents, Michael? Or they work, all of them, most of them?
Oh, I think we kind of just run the gamut of, you know, families. You know, most of the parents do have some kind of employment.
Mm-hmm.
But, I, whether they're self-employed or have an understanding employer, I don't know. All that I can say is that especially when I see a participating parent that usually is, you know, not there as much as their spouse, you know, I'm just thrilled. And I don't want to bring it up because it may mean that they're getting in trouble or something, but... They seem to just figure it out. And, you know, a lot of times it is a grandparent. We have lots of grandparents that participate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Sometimes it's a friend. Yeah, it is. We have a really kind of diverse group of adults that are
How many adults do you have at any given time? How many adults would you have there with the children versus how many children you have?
Well, we have 27 children mm-hmm. in each class, and we'll have a teacher, co-teacher, and then maybe 7 or 8 parents.
Wow!
And our ratio is way down, like 1 to 3.
Uh huh. Wow.
Now, do all of those parents really perform optimally? No, you know, because some are just learning, mm-hmm. some are really good at it. But you know what? It works. Sometimes just having a parent in an area, whether they know what they're doing or not, can have an effect on kind of keeping things calm,
mm-hmm.
you know, with what's going on with the kids. You know, if they're just leaning on the shovel, sometimes that's enough. But, you know, it just seems to work. And that is really the challenge for the staff is to get them to where they feel not only comfortable doing what they're doing, understanding kids, but also anticipating how they can help or, you know, to communicate with the other parents about, look, there's nobody inside right now. You run outside. I'll call you if anybody shows up and wants to paint, okay? You know, things like that are always happening from one end of the environment to the other where we're just figuring it out. And that's really the fun part, too, is can we figure this out? We've got all these kids and they're spread from one end to the other. And how are we going to do this?
Have you ever worked with a parent or had to work with a parent who you found it really hard to work with? Did you ever come into that situation?
Tune in next week for Michael's answer.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode.